It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Well, welcome to Quantum number 26. Welcome to those of you who are listening to this for the first time. It's good to see that our listeners are increasing from all over the place. Last week, people from Russia and from Peru and from Sri Lanka and New Zealand and elsewhere. And this week, we are going to travel the world to take a look at what's going on in the world and trying to look at it from a Christian perspective. And in this short space that we have, we're going to go to Africa, to Zimbabwe, to the Netherlands, to America, to Sheffield in England, to London, to Greece, North Macedonia, Australia as well. So let's get on with it. There's so much. Let's begin in Zimbabwe. In the past week or so, at least 12 people have been killed by the army, and it looks as though the situation is getting much worse. Again, in a similarity with the riots in France, it's largely to do with fuel prices, which have shot up 150%. And that, of course, creates enormous difficulties and problems. Now, from a Christian perspective, I was intrigued to hear David Coulthard on BBC programmes, because David has a book called The Struggle Continues, which is absolutely fascinating. He was a soldier in the Rhodesian, the White Army. He then became a Christian, actually, and very much sympathized with Mugabe and served and worked with him, and then also challenged him. The Struggle Continues is an absolutely fantastic book, and I would highly recommend it. But David is still there in Zimbabwe, and he's still being just incredibly brave. And there he was on the radio, speaking out against his own government, knowing that his own life could be in risk.
Well, this is unprecedented. Even under Mugabe, he never shut the internet off. And so we've seen what has happened over the last couple of days. First of all, they shut off Twitter, WhatsApp, and Facebook. Clearly, that wasn't enough. So they then cut off the whole internet. They restored the internet. And then, as your colleague has said, at 10 o'clock last night, they shut off the internet again. And it is an indication that this is a frightened regime. They want to cut off the flow of information, not only between Zimbabweans, but also to prevent us from telling the world about what is actually going on here.
What Mnangagwa has said is that, and he said this on Twitter...
David is one of these Christians throughout the world who are standing up to oppression and who are living for Christ, and who just bear testimony to what Christ said about being salt and light. And speaking of a witness, we certainly need one in the Netherlands. What's going on in that country, a country which was largely founded upon Christianity and which has so rejected its Christian roots, that in an article in The Guardian, a long essay in The Guardian this past weekend, even they questioned what was going on in the Netherlands. And of course, this is the slippery slope argument as regards euthanasia. Here's one fact that should shock everyone. One third of deaths in the Netherlands are induced in some way. Now, not one third are euthanasia, but euthanasia has gone up to over 6,000 per year in 2017. There is a proposal which has so far been rejected, but the Netherlands just keeps going, as do Belgium, down this route, and we are supposed to follow. There is a proposal that a pill should be given to 70-year-olds just to euthanize themselves whenever they wish. What are we doing in terms of our older people? What are we doing in terms of humanity? And this is how crazy the Netherlands is becoming. 250 Dutch pastors have signed the Nashville Statement. That's a statement, in effect, just reaffirming traditional Christian views, Orthodox, Catholic, Protestant, on marriage and sex and sexuality and gender.
Over dat beruchte Nashville manifest dat pleit voor het traditionele gezin en homo's en transgenders afwijst. Een paar honderd predikanten, voorgangers en Kees van der Staaij hebben het ondertekend. U weet.
And there have been enormous fuss and protests about this. Politicians and celebrities, of course, who else, have publicly denounced them. The Hague flew a rainbow flag in protest of the Nashville statement. And the country's public prosecution service is examining the statement to see if there is any basis for a criminal investigation, citing the Dutch constitution, which says that discrimination on the grounds of religion, belief, political opinion, race or sex, or on any other grounds whatsoever, shall not be permitted. Now, what if your religion says that marriage is between a man and a woman? Is that discriminating against homosexuals, and therefore should you discriminate against them? But if you do that, are you not then discriminating against the religion? What is really happening here, again, as in the United States and also in the United Kingdom, in the name of diversity, no diversity is going to be permitted. We have to be very, very careful what we pick up in the media and how we react on social media. As this story tells us, have you heard this about the Catholic kids in the MAGA hats who abused a Native American indigenous person, who old man who was just there? And you know, this is kind of meant to be indicative of how American society is becoming even more racist and polarized and so on. What's the story? Group of boys from Covington Catholic High School were on a trip to attend the March for Life rally. The rally coincided with an Indigenous people's demonstration nearby. One version of the story goes this, that motivated by white privilege and racism, the schoolboys began chanting out to drown out the activists, talking about building the wall and so on. An elderly Native American activist, Nathan Phillips, was then surrounded by these youths, and there's in particular a photograph of a young man who appears to look very smugly at this other man. So this is all about white privilege and everything else that goes along with it. And people retweeted all over. Christian groups, the Catholic Church apparently apologized, or the school apologized. And this was, many of the people that I follow on Twitter, many of the politicians, they retweeted this, and journalists saying, isn't this terrible? But they've had to backpedal. And some of them have, thankfully, but others have just kept quiet. Having tweeted out the accusation in the first place, they're now keeping silent when even the New York Times said that it was wrong. If you look at the footage of it, what actually happened is somewhat different.
Few days, NBC News has sat down with Nathan Phillips three times and heard his side of the story. And now, for the first time, the 16-year-old is saying what he saw.
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so. My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing. But I can't say that I'm sorry for listening to him and standing there.
Much of this was deliberate provocation. If you look at the longer video, what you discover is that these boys were fine. They didn't chant, build the wall. They were a bit confused. If you read the testimony about what happened about this man who approached them, there is a black radical cult called the Black Hebrews, who started ranting at the boys about whites and sodomy and shouting, your president is a homosexual and go back to Europe. And none of that, of course, was reported by those who were condemning these boys. And all of it just goes to show how dangerous it is for us to take a very highly edited version of a story and then virtue signal our horror or our disgust and pass it on to other people. I mean, there's been a kind of hate mob against these boys. And that poor kid, I mean, was it Reef Aslan tweeted, I'd love to punch that guy in the face. Now, in Twitter's world, does that not count as hate speech? There's a line in George Orwell's 1984 which comes to mind with this. To wear an improper expression on your face, to look incredulous when a victory was announced, for example, was itself a punishable offence. There was even a word for it in newspeak. Face crime, it was called. The boy whose photograph has gone all over the internet, I think confused and puzzled and wondering, what is this guy doing coming up and banging his drum in their face? That boy has committed face crime. And he has been bitterly condemned for it. Unbelievable.
I wanna love you, but something's pulling me away from you. Jesus is my virtue, and Judas is the demon I cling to.
And speaking of unbelievable, how about Lady Gaga telling us what a Christian is? I once did a talk on Lady Gaga's song Judas, in which she in effect set herself up as Christ. Well, Lady Gaga has weighed into an argument about Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, and what has Senator Pence done? Well, let me quote Lady Gaga. To Mike Pence, who thinks it's acceptable that his wife works at a school that bans LGBTQ, you are wrong. You said you should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. I am a Christian woman, and what I do know about Christianity is that we bear no prejudice and everybody is welcome. So you can take all that disgrace, Mr. Pence, and look yourself in the mirror and you'll find it right there. Now, that's an extraordinary statement. We bear no prejudice against everybody, but Lady Gaga is pervading her own prejudice against biblical Christianity. Because what has Mike Pence done? Well, he hasn't done anything. His wife, Karen, has gone to work part-time at a Christian school. And it's a Christian school which has a policy of upholding Christian standards. So it doesn't accept same-sex marriage, and it does not permit its students to engage in homosexual acts. I suspect it doesn't permit its students to engage in heterosexual acts unless they're married and they're not going to be at that age. Now, what Lady Gaga is doing is saying, your version of Christianity is not mine, and she's just making up her own. She's just going along again with the liberal zeitgeist. And it really is quite remarkable, the prejudice that's been shown against a Christian woman for wanting to teach in a Christian school that upholds Christian values. It's indicative of the kind of intolerance that has now become the norm in our so-called diverse Western society. But let's come on to a bit of good news that involves both America and the United Kingdom. There's this extraordinary story of a man who, when he was a boy, when he was an eight-year-old boy in Sheffield, witnessed a B-17 Flying Fortress crash in Sheffield after going on a bombing trip, and all 10 of the US airmen died. Since that day, I think almost every day, but certainly every week, Tony Folds has visited the memorial there and has tended the memorial. He's put new flowers, he's looked after the stones and everything else. For 75 years. Now that's honouring the dead. And there's this wonderful story of how a BBC reporter out walking his dog found him doing this and asked him about it and ended up doing a report. And what reward would you like? He said, just like a flyby. It wasn't going to happen. And then there was this marvellous announcement whereby this 83-year-old man is getting to have a flyby of the memorial.
Have a look at the plane behind me, Tony. Have we got Tony back in vision now? Have a look at this. Back then, 75 years ago, those guys were flying a B-17. Today, the men and women who work here fly something like this. This is an F-15. And Tony, have a good first look at this, because you'll be seeing more of it soon. Let me introduce Colonel Will Marshall. with your special message direct to Tony.
Good morning, Tony. On behalf of my teammates at the RAF, the 352nd Special Operations Wing, the 100th Air Refueling Wing, and here at the 48th Fighter Wing, it gives me great pleasure to say, look to the skies on 22 February for a very special flyby.
You got your flyby, Tony. Woohoo!
I find the story itself deeply moving. Those who attack war monuments, and there's been a story of that recently, those who deface them, but those who honour those who died for our freedoms. I think that's just a wonderful story. Now our country's in a lot of trouble, and we are not going to talk about Brexit just now, but we are going to talk about something else, prayer in Parliament. Listen to this prayer. Don't you think it's a wonderful thing to be said in Parliament?
Lord, the God of righteousness and truth, grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament and all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit. May they never lead the nation wrongly through love of power, desire to please, or unworthy ideals. But laying aside all private interests and prejudices, keep in their mind their responsibility to seek to improve the condition of all mankind. So may your kingdom come and your name be hallowed. Amen.
Well, not according to Crispin Blunt, who is spearheading an MP, a Conservative MP, who is spearheading a campaign to get rid of prayers in Parliament. And of course, you could guess this. This is not coming from other religions. It's coming from the National Secular Society. Mr. Blunt has just become a patron of it. Well, you almost have to sigh. I mean, what are they trying to say? Again, part of the tolerance, intolerance thing. They're saying, oh, no, no, we don't want any religion at all. Let people just be free. You can have your religion privately. But this was a country founded on Christianity. What is wrong with the prayer that you just heard? You're not a Christian. You don't have to go along with it. But why is it wrong to continue that tradition? What's happening is the secularists are seeking to exclude Christianity from public life. It's just pure and sheer prejudice. And speaking of which, on the same programme, the Sunday programme, here's John Lennox talking about the relationship between science and faith.
Well, what happened was I was at a dinner and got speaking to the first Nobel Prize winner I'd ever met. And because I've been interested in these issues for years, I just dropped into the conversation, the God question, and I could see that he was quite uncomfortable. So being a polite Irishman, I dropped it. But after dinner, he invited me to his room with a group of senior people. And he asked me, do you want a career in science? And I said, yes, sir. Well, he said, if you want a career...
It just shows you how this prejudice has been going on for a long time. How when he began his career as a scientist, a Nobel Prize-winning scientist took him aside and in effect intimidated him by asking him if he wanted a career in science and then telling him to give up his naive ideas on God. Yep, intolerance has been around for a long time. Let's move to Greece pretty quickly. What's going on in Greece? The Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, is in danger of being overthrown with a parliamentary vote. There have been riots in Athens. What's the issue? The issue is Macedonia, the Republic of North Macedonia. Now that's an area, it's a country which Greece does not recognise, but which wants to be recognised, wants to become part of the European Union apparently. But it's mainly a Slavic country. And the Greeks don't like the idea of Macedonia, which has such historical resonance for them, being considered to be a separate country. So instead of being called Macedonia, it was going to be called the Republic of North Macedonia. An agreement had been signed, but the Greek Orthodox Church doesn't like it. And they've got involved, and there were 60,000 people on the streets of Athens this past weekend. There were riots, there were people injured, and it's possible that the government may fall. How I wish that the Greek Orthodox Church preached the gospel and didn't encourage people to riot on the streets over a name. Proclaim the name of Jesus. Who cares about Macedonia or North Macedonia? Let's quickly wing over to the other side of the world, to Australia, or if you're in Australia, what you know as the centre of the world. And let's just shoot ahead to the future and a fascinating article in the Australian Guardian about socialist utopia in 2050, when Australia would be paradise after the failure of capitalism. And the article lists all the things that would happen. But it summarises it this way. The socialist world of 2050 would not be the kind of utopia dreamed of by abstract theorists. It would not be one of complete leisure or perfect equality, let alone perfect people. But it would provide nearly everyone with a better life and more opportunity to pursue their own path to happiness than we have today. All I can say is, beware of the utopians, because when their dreams and fantasies are not fulfilled, they tend to get pretty authoritarian, intolerant, and violent. On the left, as well as on the right. And finally, our quote of the week, which comes from David Bowie in 1999. Listen to this.
I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
What do you think? I mean, when you think then about
the future... Is there life on Mars? Yes, it's just landed here.
But that's yeah. It's simply a different delivery system there. You're arguing about something more profound.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the actual context and the state of content is going to be so different to anything that we can really envisage at the moment, where the interplay between the user and the provider will be so insimpatico. It's going to crush our ideas of what mediums are all about. Is there life on Mars?
I think Bowie was prescient in how he foresaw things in 1999. The internet can be used for good or for evil. I hope this podcast is part of it being used for good. If you want to support the podcast, please go to the Patreon page, go to the website and help us along. Do subscribe on iTunes and do subscribe on Podbean. I'm sorry my voice has been a bit rough today. I've been away speaking to Welsh ministers for 2 days. It's very cold here as well. But we shall return next week, and please do continue to give us your feedback and ideas for stories. It's great because all over the world there are Christians, and I'm receiving information from so many of you, which is just fascinating in comparison with what I read on the mainstream media. And when I combine the two, it is really, really interesting. So feel free to just keep sending us stuff. Can't use it all, but hope to do so. God bless you, or at least hope to use some of it. God bless you and have a great week.